Welcome to another episode of Go, Go, Grow. If you're looking to build your business, scale beyond your wildest dreams, or just get some basic information about how to go about all of the above, you're in the right place. I'm Michelle Page. I'm your host. And today I'm joined
by Chris Budahas.
Woo, woo. Woo, woo. So, Chris, I thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah.
It's taken a bit of schedule.
We had to do some scheduling in the Olympics, and I appreciate you inviting me. I love all the podcasts. I listen to them in the gym. It's funny. Patton always said, once you physically do exercise, you should exercise your brain 2 to 3 times more, meaning you should do more reading.
Yeah.
And I kind of taken that one like years ago. I kind of realized like, okay, if I'm in the gym working out anyways, why am I exercising my brain while I'm doing it? So listening to your podcast has been very helpful and inspirational. And what I appreciate, and I was thinking about this the other day, I said, go, go, grow. You got 3 verbs in a row, which is good because it shows you need to take action, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
It's not think.
No. I mean, you can think all day, but you can, go into paralysis while doing that. So thank you for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, absolutely. And you were a natural idea for guests because you've been with us from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And you've been a supporter, an advocate, a sharer with others. Yeah. And I so appreciate that. And I appreciate the feedback that you've given us about the value that you found.
That's just huge. No, I appreciate it. It's homegrown. You're I'd say being a former military, now being a veteran is retiree, should I say, is you've been in the trenches, right?
Yeah.
So you have something to tell somebody. And I always tell folks, go wide and deep on what you listen and read to, read, because it'll give you a worldly look.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when I thought about how I was going to introduce you today, I thought, okay, let me think of a title for Chris. It's a long list of titles.
Yeah, I got a lot of titles.
So let me see if I can run down these.
Yeah.
So we've had Marine.
Yeah, Marine. Yeah.
We've had Corporate Leader.
Corporate Leader, yeah.
We've had Army Colonel.
Army Colonel, yeah.
As of November 1st, October 31st, we now have civilian.
Yeah. Retiree.
Yes.
I got to get my free meals in periodically.
Thank you for 36 years of dedication and service.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
And thank you to your wife, Emirette.
Yeah.
For everything that she's done.
She definitely had a hardest job, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. And we're filming this the day after Veterans Day. So thank you to every veteran, every veteran's family member that has given every bit of support to this country.
No, it's huge, right? I mean, without them, we couldn't do this, and we get to do this, right? And so I've been very fortunate enough in my life to travel, fight, train, you name it, 52 different nations. And one of my assignments as a colonel, I was at our U.S. Africa Command. So I spent some time on the African continent running exercises and training. And the freedom that we possess here, I always tell folks, now a lot of folks trying to sneak into China or Russia. So we're very fortunate. Though we have our issues we need to work through as a nation, the ability to come together and have conversations is gigantic. So thank you.
Well, absolutely. And there's room to move forward. There's always room to move forward.
For sure.
But let's get back to those titles.
Yeah.
So of course, husband and father.
Yeah. Those are my most proud titles, by the way. People ask me like, what are you most proud of? I said, being husband, to Amaret for the last 33 years, and then having 3 grown children who are successful in their own rights, and most importantly, are paying their own bills.
Woo, woo. And now you've expanded that to CEO, founder, consultant, TV host. You are over Veterans and Military Affairs Division.
Not working with them. Yeah.
Oh, working with them. Yep. Okay. Yep. Chief of Government Relations with
Client Focused Media.
Client Focused Media.
Yeah.
Is there anything you haven't done yet?
Haven't done the dishes this morning, but no.
Oh, we won't talk about
that. But I'll do those later.
Okay. So you have been a busy man.
I have.
And the transition from military to civilian / corporate world was blurred because you were doing it all at kind of the same time.
Yes, ma'am.
So I really want to dig into the military and how that kind of led into the business world. But let's talk about what you're doing now.
Okay.
And then we can kind of go back into how you got here.
Yeah, that's great, right? And where you at and then how'd you get here is kind of important. It's kind of like watching the first episode of Yellowstone this season. I'm like, dang, he's already there to kill them off, killed off Kevin Costner. And now we're going backwards to kind of understand how we got there. So I'm very fortunate being from this area of Jacksonville, Florida. I never thought I'd come back. I left in 87 and I enlisted in the Marines. And lo and behold, I came back and the city's grown quite a bit. But there's a reason why I'll stay and I'll get to it a little bit later. So number one, I created my own company. It's an advantage. So like advantage, advantage with an edge strategy and solution. So created my own LLC. Really in the business and in the government consulting space. I obviously with my time in government have understand the process of acquisitions, also understand the government. With a couple of my last assignments, I worked with our Army Futures Command, kind of understanding where we're moving and doctrine training and then material solutions, which is really important today as we continue to modernize our military and kind of figure out what the future looks like. So I brought that together and I said, hey, let me create a company where I can provide value to my clients. And I got a series of clients. So I won't name them by name, but some of the stuff I'm in the unmanned aerial vehicle, ground vehicle space. So drones.
Yeah.
Also in the human performance space, working with a client that's helping folks understand where the individual's at and from a human performance space to number one, make them better. Number two, prevent injuries and upon injury recovery, which I'm pretty passionate about. I got a couple other clients that are in the intel space. So I'm kind of growing out that clientele and that's been very rewarding for me. I work with client focused media, which you mentioned. I'm the chief of government affairs. With client-focused media, I get to host great shows like the 5-Minute Salute and then Buzz on Veterans. So really, folks either in uniform or folks that are retired. Did they do a full career? Some did, some didn't. But everybody's got a story to tell. So I host those shows. I help co-host with, I'll shout out to Steve Shrum, Jacksonville Buzz or Business Buzz, where we highlight companies that are, what they do in this area, and then kind of help them kind of propagate their message. I'm also doing Tech Champions, which is great because I got the ability to do that remotely or in the studio in San Marcos. So I get to talk to everybody in tech space. And so people ask me like, hey, how much are you getting paid to do these shows? The answer is nothing. But I mentioned on my post last week, I get paid nothing to do it, but I am paid personally because I have a full heart and I get to meet some of the coolest people through that door. And cool, being cool doesn't mean you got a $1 million company that is kind of cool, but hey, this is what I'm doing in my space to help out my community, whether it's business, nonprofit, you name it. So I appreciate the opportunity to work with client focused media. With a CEO, we are trying to launch a series of companies, 30 to 50 companies in the next 5 years, 25% women owned.
You shared that with me.
Yeah, 25% veteran owned. So we've launched one company that's a veteran owned company. I have responsibility for their mentorship, their business mentorship, if you will. And we got the right mentors here locally to help them grow their business. So I'm pretty excited about that. Let's see, what else they got going on?
You mentioned actually the first company that we talked about probably a year ago was Guardians Fortress.
Yeah, and then Guardians Fortress. Yeah, how can I forget Guardians Fortress? So yeah, I'm a co-founder of Guardians Fortress. So unfortunately, a good friend of mine reached out to me after Uvalde. So he's originally from Texas. He had gotten injured. He was recovering from surgery outside of, he's from Plano, Texas. And he called me. He's like, hey, sir, we served in Baghdad, Iraq together. And he's like, hey, sir, I'm really, really discouraged by, these mass shootings happening. Schools got to do something about that. And I explained some of the military tools that we learn that we can bring to help reduce school violence. And then I didn't hear from him for about 6 months. And he calls me up. He's like, hey, sir, I need a COO to help me run this nonprofit. unfortunately, the nonprofit, it's a hard space to be in, but I learned so much about it. And it kind of a scary proposition as a, member of the community, but also a person I had, kids in school back in the day, is there's really no national standard per se for school inspections to reduce school violence or active shooter incidents. So I dug into it. FBI, DHS, some of the local and state, and depending on where you look at, do have some suggestive checklists. But most of them are PDFs. they're a print, put on a clipboard, walk around and inspect. I'm like, we got to get in the 21st century.
That is not systematic.
It's not systematic. and nor was it detailed. And I'm going, okay, if I'm an educator, because, you know, what I know about security, I know I need it. But why don't I have a digital tool? And we purposely built this tool for a sheriff's deputy or school resource officer to use this to do this digital inspection. It's got 287 lines of inspection you go through. It's extremely detailed. Worst case scenario, if you don't understand what you're doing, you hit the call button. We get to the help desk and put you on video chat. And we can work through it. And the biggest thing in my CTO, I told him also, was the ability to hit a final print out a report, a brief, an out brief for whoever needs to be out brief, specifically the school themselves. And so it exports the PowerPoint, and then you can get a longer form to give you every level of matrix that you want and tables and things of that nature. Because we know administrators will have to go argue for funding in order to improve their security. But the funny thing, Michelle, that I found with working with men are the worst, right? So after almost every active shooter incident, when I was working with National Overwatch, they would call and they would tell us what they needed. And we'd say, okay, what do you think your security issues are? We need more guns in school. We need more cameras. We need more metal detectors. We'd go do an inspection. What we found is, number one, your folks, that, number one, you didn't have an emergency action plan or a drill. Number two, you did have a drill, but nobody understood what the drill was. So it's like, you don't need material solutions, or maybe you do, but you probably have a process issue that costs you nothing but time to fix. So this has been very rewarding.
Just like in business.
Yeah.
You start with the end in mind.
Yep.
You build a strategy. You communicate.
Yeah.
You collaborate.
Right.
You coordinate.
Right.
You build a culture.
Right.
You identify the resources you need.
Yep.
Obtain them, and then implement them throughout the organization.
Absolutely. And it's funny. Your speculative, that's funny because there's so many parallels to what you said to how the military does strategy development and execution. And nothing's changing, right? Or have we framed the problem? Do we even understand what the problem is? Then what's our long range vision over time and space to address the problem? And then along the way, assess where we're at and have feedback loops to go, we're kind of off, you know, we're kind of off our path right now. We got to kind of veer back on path and move in the right direction. So,
and you've shared a graphic with me, and this would probably be a great time to post that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I appreciate it. So Henry Mintzberg. So I had the opportunity. I've been very blessed. I enlisted in Marine Corps because my dad, when I was a senior, said, what are you going to do after high school? And he's an enlisted sailor here locally, or was at the time at Naval Air Station Jacksonville. He said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to University of Florida, and I'm going to go to ROTC, this and that. He goes, not with my money and your grades. So to say that my GPA wasn't high as it probably should have been, it probably wasn't. But through my service, I had the opportunity to get an undergrad and then to get 3 master's degrees. And one of those courses that I attended is called the School of Advanced Military Study. And this graphic from Henry Mintzberg that you're going to show our audience speaks to me loudly, because at the time in 2009, when I was going through this course, you know, we're on the back end of Iraq looking to exit, and things are picking up in Afghanistan. And I had to write a thesis or a monograph, and I studied Pakistan. When you study Pakistan, you study Afghanistan. And to see the complexity of the world and understand that, is your strategy moving in the right direction? Do you understand, like, as you move in time and space, things will change? So you have an intended strategy, then the realized strategy. But as you move along that strategy, which typically by some theorists will say a strategy lasts like 3 to 5 years. So,
no.
but we know in a business world, especially with I just finished Mark Mills's book, The Cloud Revolution. I just started Ship Wars over the weekend by Chris Miller. 2 great books that Rory Kaminsky recommended to me, is that the speed of Moore's Law is so quick that you can't sit static. You got to always be evaluating the environment. And then in that graph from Mintzberg, you see where your intended strategy is unrealized because it just falls off because the conditions and variables have changed. And then you have emergent strategy, things that come into your strategy or emergent variables that are going to cause you to shift, or you should shift, or you at least evaluate the environment to go, okay, this does not affect me now. So I'm right now, I'm just going to continue to watch, but I'm not going to change. Or we need to make a move. And yeah. So there's more purpose, you know. Strategy shouldn't be accidental. Like, we just happen to fall into success. Like, you got to make sure you kind of move in that direction and understand where you're at. Yeah.
So let's break things down a little bit as far as the speed with which businesses have to pivot. Exponential number of external forces today are so much more than it was 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And it's not just, you know, what's the market doing?
Yeah.
It's what's happening geopolitically, happening environmentally. Is there a pandemic going on? So let's look at the automotive industry for a moment.
Okay. I thought you were going to say football. All right. We'll stick to automotive.
CFL, USFL, XFL. No, Steve Strum, you had mentioned, actually his episode, just aired last week.
I've listened to it twice.
Well, thank you. You had shared some feedback earlier, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We drilled down into the owner's box versus QB.
Yeah.
So I'll drift away from football for just a moment. Let's look at the auto industry.
Yeah.
So when Henry Ford dominated the consumer automotive industry turn of the century, you want that Model T?
Yeah.
Great. In black.
Right. It's going to be one size. It's going to be the same color, everything.
Assembly line. Very structured, very rhythmic. Not a lot of external influences at that time.
Right.
Okay. Fast forward from the 1900s to the early 1940s, late 1930s, and we're at war.
Right.
And now the manufacturing plants are no longer making automobiles.
Making Jeeps.
They're making trucks. Jeeps and trucks and any other type of vehicle that the Army needs because the external forces have changed their strategy.
Yeah.
Okay. Move forward another 60 years. Now we're talking hybrids. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite 60 years. We're talking hybrids. And then California says, I think we need to make everybody electric. So changes in strategy.
Right.
And then there's EPA concerns, changes in strategy. And now there's lithium batteries that can blow up your garage.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, all of these external forces, did the automotive companies say in my 10-year strategy, there we go.
Yeah. And if they did, they don't exist anymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you wonder about Saturn.
Since what was their strategy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But your point's valid. It's funny. It's because I mentioned earlier with the cloud revolution, Mark Mills kind of gets in that. He did talk about the automotive industry and how conditions changed and then how outward forces or external stakeholders would either be on board, naysayers, or sit neutral. And that's got huge implications. And you look at the speed of change, it's amazing how quickly things move in a relative time factor. And you're right with the EV market. What does it mean? It's funny. I bought Ford stock 2.5-3 years ago because they announced like Ford's gonna get in the EV business. I'm like, hey, Ford stock's cheap. Let me get there. It's not changed much, but it does make you wonder. Yeah. We're moving down that road. And not to get into politics, but we did have an election most recently. You know, what does this mean for the Green New Deal? Or does it mean, because that's the question, right? Should business outlive politics? Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. But it definitely has an influence to it. If you're not thinking about it, it's like I had a conversation with a client today and I said, I think some of your tech could be used on the Southwest border for surveillance in a positive way. And they're like, "Ooh, I didn't think about that." So, there's, you know, unfortunately, you know, or fortunately, they're out of chaos is born opportunity. Also, with changes of administrations and policies and politics, provides opportunity too. So, but I think it goes well beyond it to include the business world, and you got to think globally, which you mentioned too. Like, if you're not thinking globally, boy, there's so many competitors out there. Because one of the potential future client that I'll be working with, I mean, they don't live in the U.S. They live somewhere in Europe. And you're like, see, they're looking at this market and going, I need to be in your market. And oh, by the way, they're in the artificial intelligence space. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I've had a number of clients, international clients. Several have been Israeli tech clients.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely
and
amazing what they're doing.
Worlds ahead.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I've worked with quite a few in the EU, and their legal requirements, sales and marketing requirements, when they're trying to go to market in the US, which is what I've done for quite a few of them, I've worked on their programs, completely different. Completely
right.
different. So you have to keep those considerations in mind. And even something that kind of mixes between political and cultural attitudes, staying with those EVs, there are some people that are passionately behind it that see it as a positive climate advantage.
Yeah.
And there's other people that are passionately against it because they see the impact of mining the lithium.
Oh, yeah.
So it just depends on your audience and who you're selling to and how you're positioning it. So your strategy, you can't look at it just through your lens. You have to look at it through everybody's
lens. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I spent some time living in Germany, you know, and back in the, you know, post-Cold War in the 90s, a big push to, hey, we need to get rid of these nuclear plants. And what's the optimum? The optimum was, hey, we're going to, you know, increase coal usage. And then they've done the opposite. And so we're finding like, okay, so with the nuclear reactor, obviously the used power or the chemicals and things of that nature become a hazard to the environment, but it's so much cleaner energy. And you're like, oh, okay. So it's funny how things repeat or sometimes you'd be thought through the implications of what you're doing. And oh, by the way, looking at it with an unbiased eye. And sometimes you realize you got biasness. That's why I love my time in the military. You know, a number of things I was taught, but like an operational planning team. When you bring a team together that's very diverse in background, jobs and experiences, you get a different view, right? They'll go, hey, have you thought about this? And you're like, oh my gosh, that person is really, really smart. You know, and it might be the most junior person in the room.
Yeah. Well, so many times we as entrepreneurs, we build a business based on our beliefs, based on our perspective, and we get a little bit myopic.
You think?
Yeah. So it is so important that when we're seeking out resources, support, different perspectives, that we seek out somebody who has that unique perspective. Mm. And when we're talking about the things that the industries we just talked about, veterans have one of the most unique breadth and depth of experience and knowledge, real life, practical, applied knowledge because of everything they've been exposed to, everything they've done and situations that we as an entrepreneur, we couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, just my own personal reflection on my life. So in Desert Storm, you know, I was in charge of 14 other individuals. And lo and behold, when I got out in 2000, you know, I got out. So I was enlisted in the Marines and I was an officer in the Marines, got out in 2000 and I go work for General Electric and I'm in charge of 16 people. And as a Marine captain, one of the organizations I was in command of, I had over 150 people. And now granted, the Department of Defense doesn't make money. They actually spend money, but for the business, you're making money. But yeah, you know, you alluded to it. I mean, your veteran community, and I'm going to say this up front, not all veterans are the same, right?
Right.
You know, and that's from any rank, because I think sometimes folks either underestimate or overestimate. And then I had the same conversation with a retired colonel about a month ago about this. And his assumption was some of our peers, they overestimate that, you know, the military has this lock on leadership, and man, these business leaders, if they only knew leadership, like they know leadership. Yeah. There might be some things they might need to learn, like everybody, to include yourself. But the reality of it is, like, you know, not the military doesn't have this lock on leadership and nobody else does. Not so business leaders. I say Elon knows a thing or two. I say Bill Gates knows a thing or two, but the question is, what tools in your toolbox do you have that you can bring that over to the business world? And I think that's really important. So for me, is I took a look at my journey when I got in 2000 I worked for a little company called General Electric.
Oh, I've heard of them.
You heard of them? Okay. Yeah. I didn't make light bulbs though. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was in the General Electric. I was in, one of their management programs. They hired me for that. And, it was good. They definitely, it's kind of, there was a lot of parallels between military culture and GE and the process of developing mentors, some of the reporting structures, things of that nature, which I parallel, which I saw a parallel to. And then when I came back in 2001, based on what happened that year and went back in the Army, then came back out, as I kind of looked at the last 2 years as I was getting ready to exit the military for good now, I had to kind of go, okay, what do I want to do? What I don't want to do. And I realized just backwards looking, I had all these opportunities to work with great people and have these great assignments. Why can't I use that to build my own business? Because I love working for myself. I'm accountable to myself. Actually, I'm accountable to my clients.
And your wife.
And my wife. Number one, always the wife.
Amorette's a strong woman.
She's a strong woman. And that's a lot to put up with when you're working out of the house. But but it was kind of like, I'm going to bet on myself. But I'm going to work through it. But one thing I tell my either future retirees or veteran friends that are still in service or those even out, find mentors. I mean, I said, it's funny, in the Army specifically, they're always like, you got to have a mentor. You should have a mentor. And I realized like, hey, I need to get some civilian mentors. I need to get somebody that doesn't speak any lick of military and I can communicate with them. And then I knew my knowledge gaps. I knew some areas I needed some work on. And I purposely sought out folks to go, hey, can you be my mentor in this area? And they were so gracious with their time. I have not had one person ever say, I don't have time for you. And I appreciate it because I knew I needed some areas as a business owner to work through. And then having folks, the power of LinkedIn is insurmountable to kind of measure it, in my opinion. But when I could reach out to other folks on LinkedIn and say, hey, how did you do this? They're like, hey, let's set up a call. And then we'd get on the phone and we would talk. And I'm like, okay, let me put that in my toolkit for things to understand. And then I had them in my network.
Yeah.
I could always reach back out to them. So yeah, the creation of what I'm doing now was purposely built because I wrote down what I did not want to do when I left uniform, which is I didn't want to wear a suit. And I didn't want to sit in a cubicle 40 hours a week, but I got salmon on today. So
you look good.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no, I feel good. But it was kind of like, hey, I'm going to bet on myself. I'm going to work through it because now I'm accountable for my paychecks by my clients to provide a service. And then, I work hard, but I've always appreciated working hard, but yeah. Seeing clients win makes, I'm going to say like that's like one of those commercials being a fiduciary, like when you win, I win. And that makes me feel good. Cause I see that you're winning. I'm like, wow, I actually had a piece of that in the military. We have that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. When somebody accomplishes a mission, you're like, hey, I was part of that.
So you and I are kind of parallel there.
Yeah.
Whether we actually have the title or not,
yeah.
We naturally have that coach mentality, that mentor mentality.
Right.
And there are so many people in my life, business, personal, we've never used the word mentor.
No.
But we have that mutual relationship.
Right.
And for the ones that have asked me to mentor them, I get something out of every interaction with them as well.
It's funny. So we got a friend, I'm going to say her name, Dasha.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to Dasha yesterday.
Dasha.
Yeah.
First season co-host.
I know. Yeah. I love the Dasha.
She's awesome. Tischlich.
And she's a great example. And I've got other Dashas in my life is because I have a feeling, specifically some of my military peers, sometimes they don't realize when you leave uniform, man, you can, even in uniform, this should be happening. You can learn a lot from a younger person. And she's younger, she's smarter than I am. And you learn something from every engagement. So just because you ask for a mentor doesn't mean it's got to be Obi-Wan Kenobi, 30 years, 40 years your senior. It could be anybody. And then getting those people in your network, they get perspective because it's funny with this one company, it's in human performance space, they just got acquired. I mentioned to their senior VP for sales, I said, in this human performance space, there's five generations in the workplace. The two younger generations get it. They get the tech. They understand why this is important.
And they're not afraid of it.
And they're not afraid of it. It's the three older generations. It's, that's that doesn't understand it, or they're the ones who are throwing up roadblocks going, I don't need this for my people. And that's kind of like, okay. So I guess my point there is you can learn a lot from a lot of people. If you just, you know, two ears, one mouth, you probably use your ears more than your mouth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the transition from military life to business life, a lot of veterans, when they get out of service, whether they were in for 4 years or 36 years, sometimes when they get out, they don't have that vision of what they want to do or what they don't want to do.
Right.
And it could be, depending on their circumstances, especially if they were in active duty in a hostile area or if they saw action.
Right.
They may come back with a lot of baggage.
Yeah.
And they may say, corporate America is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's people like me.
Yeah.
I'm bipolar.
Right.
Corporate America is not for me.
Right.
But they don't know what their options are.
Right.
And they don't realize that if entrepreneurship is something that they want to pursue, there are resources available.
And
they already have a lot of the knowledge that's going to make them very successful.
Oh, for sure.
What would you say to them as far as what they already possess?
Well, I would say, first of all, do some self-evaluation, do some self-reflection. Number two, give with the people you trust. Give them, like, in a serious conversation with no alcohol, like, what do you think my strengths and what do you think my weaknesses are? You know, you mentioned Amaret earlier. I mean, she's the best at keeping me in check, but also giving me positive feedback, you know, whether that's, you know, positive in a positive way or positive in a negative way.
It's constructive.
It's constructive, right? Yeah, perfect word, constructive. So that's one. Two, and I say the veteran community, not to go back to the way it was back when I was in type of mentality, but when I got on 2000 out of the Marine Corps, there was no transition assistance program. None of these nonprofits existed. So it was go sign for your paperwork and basically you are out. And it's like, thank you very much for your service. These days, there's so many organizations that want to see you succeed. Matter of fact, I just came from the quarterly council for Jacksonville Military and Veterans. Jacksonville Military and Veterans Council meeting. So we do a quarterly meeting. And in the room, there was like 40 separate organizations that committed it. And then there was another, I think, 10 online. There's so many resources. That's just in Duval County alone that want to see you succeed. I think the biggest obstacle besides getting that feedback and then doing some self-evaluation, one of the tenets of military service is courage. So, and we talk about it, you know, courage is both physical courage on the battlefield or physical courage, you know, in training, whatever it may be. But it's also moral courage. And I tell folks, like, you got to have the moral courage to put yourself out there. So if you're not willing to go ask for help, wherever they may be, you know, business help or whatever, then you're not going to get help because people don't know you need help in some cases. Right. So they're not going to come knocking on your door. But like I said earlier, everybody I ask for any type of mentorship or a conversation or a networking, like, hey, I'm looking at this company. Do you know somebody? I saw you're connected on LinkedIn. Would you mind an introduction? It's all happened. People want to see you succeed. Not just because you're a veteran, but because you're just somebody in our community.
Right.
But for the veteran community, you got the tools. We talked earlier off camera. I'm older than your average cat, right? So I've had the opportunity to do some self-reflection. That time, though, it was 1 year I was out of service, gave me so much to think about in the future that when I purposely planned my exit, I understood how I was going to move from here to there. It was a strategy, essentially. Yeah. And I made an Excel spreadsheet, as my Tim Hayden will probably make fun of me, one of my best friends out there in Austin, Texas. But the reality of it was, for me, it kept me in line. I understood where I was at.
Yeah.
And I understand where I could take a risk or not take a risk. So for our veteran community, a lot of opportunity, you just got to be willing to put yourself out there. And then you got to be able to put the work in. I've told some friends, and we talked about it previously, they'll ask, like, hey, Chris, how hard was it to start your own company? It's easy, especially in Florida. Now you got to, like, run it.
Yeah.
And so one of my questions is, what do you know about HR? I don't know anything. What do you know about finances? Not much. I'm like, well, guess what? Until you hire a CFO or get an HR director, you're it, man. So you got to be willing to understand those functions, because those functions will have to exist in your company until you can scale and hire those folks into your organization. So you can be willing to put the calories in. And if you're not, then your company will probably not be a company too much longer in this environment.
One of the ways I use to describe it is, no matter how big or small your company is, every functional area exists. Mm. Something has to be done to handle every functional area.
Right.
Whether it is HR, finance, operations, production, product design or service design, marketing, sales, customer success, delivery.
Yeah.
Everything. And then you've got all the executive positions as well.
Oh yeah.
You've got, you know, accounts payable, accounts receivable. You've got logistics. Everything has to be done.
Right.
If you're one person, somebody's got to do it.
All those functions got to be done.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're working in your business, you're not working on your business. So get outsourced help, get, advice from someone else, partner with someone else. Mm-hmm. So just because you're one doesn't mean you can say, okay, well, I've just got this great service. I'm really, really good at what I do.
Yeah.
So you don't have to know every area.
No,
you need to self-educate so you understand, okay, well, HR means this, and there are, you know, rules regarding, employment law.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Tax laws.
Yeah.
All that stuff, right?
A playbook, equal opportunity, you know, all of that stuff. I've got to be aware of it. But when it comes to executing, there's advisors, there's fractional help, there's ESOPs, there's everything that you might need. But you've got to leverage those resources.
You do, right? And I think people don't think those functions, you got a problem. So some of the, one of the companies I work with, we help, it's called PM13 Defense Consulting. So we help small companies try to work with the government, not just the Department of Defense, but all the government. And so those small companies, in many cases, you know, they're 10 or less employees. They got a great product, a great service, but they just don't know how to negotiate the work with the government, you know, even at the local state level. Now we're talking the federal level. And some of it is you need, you know, a part-time employee that's going to help you kind of move this forward in this space. So yeah, understanding where your gaps are at and then filling them in any manner of ways that you want to do it with either a sub or with a part-time employee or full-time, you know, that's part of a decision that you're making. The other piece I'll say is, I'll ask some of these clients, well, pretty much every client that I worked with, especially if they're a prospective client, like, can I see your business plan after we sign NDAs, of course, because I, and that business plan tells me a lot. And sometimes I've seen like 36 page business plans and it doesn't really say a lot. You know, I can probably summarize it in 3 pages. And sometimes I've seen like a 3 page, which is like, ah, probably should be 7 pages, but you get to see the width and breadth of what they're thinking. And from my military experience, I saw that, you know, an experience, which I think most senior folks in at least large and mid-sized businesses understand, is you got to look at the environment, the operational environment in your business space, business segment. You know, I brought the term the other day, Sam Som, and it's kind of, you know, as a client, I said, I got it. You make the best X, but reality of it is, I think there's a lot of people that make X's also. So what's your value proposition? And then they explained it to me. I said, you probably need to put in your business plan because, you know, understanding where you're at in this, having your own biases, like this is a great product or service. Everybody wants it. What you don't do is produce some product or service that nobody wants to buy as a business leader because you will not be around too much longer.
So. And not only put it in your business plan, but the reasons would be to document it.
Yeah.
So you don't get the fuzzy brain because, you know, you've got a bunch going on up in there.
Yeah.
But also as you bring people into your organization, whether it's just brainstorming with someone or actually somebody engaged on a formal basis, you've got to be able to make sure that is clearly communicated.
Absolutely.
So document, document, document.
Yeah. And communication is huge, as you know. And it's funny, my brain went to like, so I got a friend, they took venture capital money. So he gets phone calls a couple of times a week.
Hey, how's it going?
Where we're going. So and I told a couple of folks, like when I got the business strategy and I see the date on it, it's like, this thing's like dated 3 years ago and 3 years ago is like forever, right? That's COVID. So like, you know, it's to be a living, breathing document as you're moving forward to go, yeah. Okay, where are we at, where we're going? Because if you don't have a roadmap, in my opinion, you don't know where you want to go. Kind of going back to the Mintzberg, diagram is you have an intended end state that you want to get to. Now the road to get there might be a little, wiggly, or you might have to take some indirect routes, but you get there eventually with the end in mind. And if the end in mind changes and you're like, okay, I think something has changed that we could not estimate in the environment, and then we pivot as appropriate and we have a new strategy. Mm-hmm. So
when I work with a client or coach someone, there are three things that typically are barriers to their growth, barriers to them scaling. The first one is passion and commitment.
Yeah.
The second one is knowledge. The third one is resources. Mm. So let's frame this in terms of veterans, since that's what we're both passionate about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that we really want to share value in this episode. Something that you're passionate about means it moves you.
Right.
You're committed to it. It's not just, you know what? I'll bet making widgets would make me money. If you're not passionate about that widget.
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Cause I had I was at a conference in DC and it's the Associated United States Army. Great conference, by the way. But I saw so many drone makers, and I had three friends that are looking to make their version of a drone company. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, one, what do you know about this? And it was very surface level. I mean, you don't have a STEM degree. You don't have any experience in the engineering or nor the electronic.
But they thought there'd be a market.
Yeah, it was all about the money, right? Yep. All about the Benjamins, as they say. And it's like, it's crazy, right? Like your own biasness kicks in. Like, what's your motivation? It's got to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
It's going to bleed in when you're trying to sell it to a client.
If you're only money motivated.
Yeah.
You go to the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not. But, you know, there's other things to do rather than start a company. So you've got to have the passion, the commitment, something that's going to take you through the valleys and push you up the hills.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mountains. Yeah. Lots of mountains.
Because everybody's going to have a valley at some point, right?
Yeah.
Whether that's a really steep one or it's a small one, but there's always going to be a... Because it's inevitable, right? There's going to be new materials found or material changes through engineering. There's always going to be tech changes and things of that nature. So I think that you can't control the environment, but you can control things within your capability. And then if you understand that, then you know how to negotiate around obstacles or jump over them.
Yeah. So the second blocker that I see is knowledge.
It's huge.
Now, that can be knowledge about your product or service space.
Yeah.
Are you an expert in it? If I decided that I was going to be a consultant for professional auto racing, I'm not going to do so well.
No.
But if I want to be a consultant for helping companies grow, okay, I think I can be competitive there.
Right. Yeah.
But if I want to be a consultant, so staying in kind of the industry, if I want to be a consultant to help companies grow in Southeast Asia, I'm going to need somebody on board that's going to be able to help me with that.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean I can't.
You got to be able to address that.
I need to expand somebody that has that knowledge.
Yeah.
And if I am, let's say I don't have a formal education in business, or I've not been exposed to that.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about operations. I don't.
Right.
I need to bring in an expert that has that knowledge.
Yeah.
So we have passion, knowledge. Number three is resources.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be a solopreneur, don't be a silo preneur.
No. Or you'll be in that silo by yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Be comfortable
probably,
in that silo.
Probably pretty poor, by the way. Yeah.
Yes. There's resources everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah.
You and I are very involved in the Jacksonville community.
Right.
I'm fairly new to the area.
Yeah.
You've been here lifelong.
Well, I boomerang back after 34 years. But yeah, but no, there is. Yeah.
In every community, in every state, in every nation.
Yeah.
There's resources.
There is. And we're pretty blessed to hear. I know you're in Atlanta previously, and I spent a lot of time in Atlanta, specifically when I was working for GE and then later, so in Norcross and then later Marietta. There's a lot of resources there too.
Yeah. And we're not talking about resources that cost a lot.
No.
This podcast is free.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great podcasts out there.
Right.
There are digital learnings, whether it's courses that you can get, whether it is websites, whether it's educational community colleges, SCORE, small business associations, there's everything is out there within your reach. It may not go as deep as you want to. You're not going to get your PhD in business development.
Yeah, right.
But there's so many resources you can get out there. There's financial resources available.
I'm on a number of distros, and I'll tell you, I would run out of time before I'd run out of things I want to do. Mm-hmm. So I just signed up for the Veteranpreneur. It's going to be at Florida State College of Jacksonville. I think it's 6th December. It's on my calendar now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just, it goes back to like education. I had a friend, I took it as a compliment. He said, "Hey, Chris, you got kind of a worldly view. How did you get that?" I said, two things, read and travel.
Yeah.
And reading goes back to number two, the knowledge piece. So it's been preached throughout my military career, be a lifelong learner. That's everybody. That's not a military thing. That's an everybody thing.
Yeah.
So if you're not always reading or you know, developing yourself, then you're probably sitting static, especially if you're trying to make a living. I saw when I worked for General Electric. So I was an IT guy. I was a manager of the IT people with the IT folks. This is 2000. A couple of guys told me like they were always studying. And I think it's even harder now. Like if you're not studying, you're irrelevant because IT just changes so much quickly. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is power, as they said on Saturday morning commercials. But going back to the resources piece, there's so much opportunity. Of course, I want to have a shout out for Greg Grant over there at Jacksonville Smart Emerging Business, or the Jacksonville Equal Business Office there, because he's doing a lot of powerful things here in the city of Jacksonville. If our small businesses are part of that organization, I mean, they're working proponency for policy in the city. They're working grants or access to capital. They're doing a lot of these educational. And they know, because Greg was a strong entrepreneur himself.
And military.
And military, by the way, that, what they need to know in order to be successful. And then you look at, and you had Sonya on here recently, there's so many folks that are in that program that are tier three J-subbers, or maybe even tier two, that are mentoring tier one folks, the truly small businesses, to get them in the right space to be successful, not just as a business, because going back to the fiduciary comment, when they're successful, we're successful. So for the city of Jacksonville, it's great to have an ecosystem of small businesses that support one another and enable each of their causes in a mutually beneficial way. And it's not always financing, by the way. It's a lot of it's just the moral support, the ability to kind of communicating. As as somebody told me, my friend Jay said, your network is your net worth.
Yeah.
So
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah. That's very, I'm sure Jay didn't come up with that, but somebody else did. And, but I'll credit him that's important. Cause I think that's something that people will woefully underestimate is networking, how important it is.
Yeah. And Greg has been on the show.
Yeah, I know. I saw.
Yeah. It. Yeah. And, he works in Mayor Deegan's office, and her goal is to make Jacksonville the small business capital of the Southeast.
Yeah.
But for everybody watching, when we talk about Jacksonville, it just so happens that I live in this area. Many of my guests live in this area, and there's so many resources that we talk about in particular. But Greg, being such a driver down here, he's not limited to Jacksonville.
No.
He is working at the state of Florida level.
Yeah.
He's working regionally.
Absolutely.
In the Southeast. He's working in Washington, D.C. On federal programs. So when we talk about these programs, it is not specific here. No. They're happening in your area.
My first conversation with him in his office, just because we were getting to know each other, we had done an interview at Client Focus Media, and he invited me over. So we sat down and talked. we talk globally before we talk locally, because we talked about, you know, being from here originally, you know, I talked about the physical geography and the human geography that's located here in the city and how it's laid out. So physical geography, not the list at all, but the big ones like 95, I-10, the port facility, the airport, the amount of land that's still open and available for investment is pretty ginormous, if I can use that word. But you know, then you kind of scope it down to, you know, because it's all interconnected, right? If you're, if your business is just focused, and that's okay. If it's local and that's what you do, that's great. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But if you provide a product and service and you're trying to scale and you want to be a bigger business, man, there's so much, you might be fighting five people locally, but you might be find other opportunities because, you know, COVID, while not fun, COVID showed us that you can have, you know, a reach well beyond the your office.
Right.
Because now we can have a meeting on Zoom or we can sell products and services that are, you know, some of it's physical, some of it's just via the internet.
So. Yeah. So I want to go back just a moment to veterans and we'll kind of wrap things up.
Okay.
I know you have a passion for veterans.
Absolutely.
I have many veterans in my family as well.
Yeah.
I have undying gratitude for everything that they have given to our country, to the world.
Right.
And anything that I can personally do to thank them and to advance them towards their goals.
Yeah.
I am happy to do. And in doing so, I want to highlight,
I'll stop you there. I think you're already doing it. So the veterans who are going to listen to this and share this. You're providing that capability. Yeah. Everything we do sometimes because folks are like, you know, how can I help veterans? I mean, somebody, if you can time, treasure, and talent, provide opportunities for your local veteran organization, that's great. But sometimes it's just passing on knowledge, being available, having conversations with folks. That's your time. As they say, you know, time is your most precious commodity. The time you're spending now is, you know, educating these folks is very helpful, right?
So. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I want to help everyone.
Don't we all?
That's a big, big scope.
Yeah.
But veterans, women, and anyone that deals with mental health, whether it's them individually or someone in their family or business.
Yeah.
Those are my real passions.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a lot to veterans that fit all three categories.
They do, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's not all of them. I think sometimes people, because it's funny, let's travel the country. My last assignment, I went to some pretty non-military locations of the nation. And I think some people are like, you know, they see me in uniform and, you know, they're proud of my service. Like, hey, thank you for what you do. And I say, thank you for your support. But I think they all think every veteran's got some PTSD. Yeah, some do, some don't. Mm-hmm. This guy Grossman wrote a book called On Killing. And one of his following books talks about everybody's got a little bit of stress disorder. And it's not a military thing. It's an everybody thing. The question is, you know, how much of that do you have and how much can you control or not control?
Right.
But yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah. Those three buckets are important.
Yeah. And I do want to give an open invitation. I will be happy to speak to any of you, give you a pep talk, help share some knowledge, whatever the case may be. This is not a sales pitch by any means. This is a, from my heart to yours.
Yeah.
I want to help you, but as part of that pep talk, I want to spend just a couple minutes on why entrepreneurship is a viable option for many returning veterans because they have so many skill sets.
They do.
So I'm going to let's play hot potato here.
Okay.
I'm going to say something. You're going to say something. Yeah. Problem solving.
Complex issues. Let's see. Problem solving. They can do it. Yeah.
Okay. Decision making.
Yes. I get your point. Yeah. I mean, problem solving. First of all, identifying the problem.
There you go.
And then understanding the environment which exists. And then how you're going to move it from current situation to where you want to be. And that's part of the strategy development. We learn these tools. So it's totally applicable. Again, it goes back to knowledge. Now you got to self-educate or you got to go pursue these opportunities that are in our society or mentors or all of that to self-educate. So you know how to change that, you know, to speak in business, if you will. Like I there's a couple of friends that, and I had a little bit of frustration with them is, you know, they expect the civilian world to conform to them. That's not reality. The business person shouldn't have to take all our, because we're known, military is known for acronyms, taking all, they should not have to know all your acronyms to understand, to be able to communicate with you.
Yeah.
So you need to be communicating in their style. So like, so in the military, we'll talk about the enemy and then the neutral population. What are they doing in the environment? That's kind of like, you know, your competition. What's your competition doing in your environment locally, regionally, nationally, globally? So you got to kind of move forward and self-study in that area. So
here's another one. Commitment.
100%. Yeah. You're going to follow through, especially it goes back to your passion piece. It's something you believe in, probably maybe to a fault sometimes. Like you believe in it so much that nobody really wants to buy what you're making. That could be a fault, but they got the tools to do that. Now you got to kind of bring it all together.
Here's another one. Depth of knowledge.
You have a lot, right? It's intangible and it's the intangible things going back to you, like, you know, dedication, ethical, you know, your ethics, all that stuff's important. And then you have the proper hard skills to kind of bring it all together. I interviewed a guy, makes some great woodworking, products and stuff. So he created his own company. He's doing very, very well, with his business. But like he said, it's been, he had to go to a local community college and take business classes. And then he realized on the finances that it was getting well beyond his capacity, that now he's like, hey, I got to go take a finance class and to understand, you know, what my CPA is telling me. So
that's,
I'm terrible at this hot potato.
No,
thing.
That's okay. No, you're good. I didn't prepare you for that.
Yeah.
But that's why veterans are good.
Yeah.
You can throw anything at them and they're going to come back with concise, strategic, actionable responses.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's funny. And I was thinking about this. I think about it a lot, but specifically in preparation for the show is we get thrown in these like dynamic, sometimes dangerous situations and we're told to figure it out. And, you know,
that's my favorite phrase.
Yeah.
My husband used to hate it. Now really? He's starting to say it. Figure it out.
Figure it out, right?
And I mean, you do it.
There was times in combat. Yeah, I figured it out. Not just me, but the team. But yeah, how do you figure it out? And then if you are the leader, then you're accountable, right? Mm-hmm. And that's important. So a short war story here. So I was running exercises in Africa and we had a huge budgetary cut under that administration at the time. And so the question is, Africa being one of the smaller, well, it's not small by physical size, but strategic locations in which we spend our time in as a military, how are we going to have influence over the parts of Africa we want? And exercises was a way because everybody wants to come together and do training, yeah. Especially if it's like medical training or some type of logistical training. They definitely want to do that stuff. So we were looking at, you know, where's the environment? We can't be in all 54, if you include Egypt, but Egypt's not part of the Africa command area,
right.
but you can't service all 53 nations. So what nations are we going to concentrate on? How are we going to spend our money appropriately to get a strategic effect? So when we go tell the Secretary of Defense and the President, this is what's going to happen in Africa and here's how we influence it, we can actually logically trace that back to what we did to the actual strategic impact. That was an exercise of, hey, we just got cut. We got to have strategic impacts across Africa. I'm like, you know, Africa's pretty big, right? And I sat down with the operational planning team, people from across the command. I led the effort and we came up with a logical strategy that made sense based on our budgetary constraints that we had. And we saw positive effects in those locations. Yeah. So we concentrated on the countries that we could train, that would train other African countries. So now we're exporting security through a partner to other nations. And I'm pretty proud of that.
That's amazing.
Doing that. So it's pretty cool. Not everybody gets to do that.
So give a veteran a challenge. They will figure it out.
They'll figure it out.
They'll get it done.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I think, you know, for our veterans out there who are going to listen to this, you know, in your gut, because I've got friends that they left active military duty and they've gone to work for the government, which is totally honorable and I appreciate it. But some people know that they have a disposition for entrepreneurship. My biggest thing that I'll tell some of, because I've seen it with a couple of friends that have struggled with entrepreneurship, is you got to be willing to do the self-study. You got to be willing to put the calories in, because it's just not going to come easy. And you got to be willing to go out there, beat the streets, have conversations, go network. If some of these things aren't one you're interested in, or two, you're not very good at, if you're not good at it, you can probably get better at it by finding the right mentor. But if you're not interested in it, then maybe entrepreneurship's not for you. Yeah. I mean, when you look up I looked up the definition of entrepreneurship 2 years ago, and there's a risk element associated with that. And if your risk is like, hey, I'm going to go work for another company because I know I'm going to get paid. And that's, I mean, right now I'm a 1099 employee for 6 different companies out of 7. So if they all cut me at one time, then I don't get paid. So are you willing to take that risk or not? And for me, I'm willing to bet on myself and then work with my clients because I want to see them win. And when they win, I win.
And that goes back to passion.
About the passion. Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah. Thank you, Michelle. This is awesome.
Wonderful. Your support has been so much to me.
Yeah.
And the feedback you give me is encouraging and also information that I can act upon to make this more valuable. And of all the titles that I shared at the beginning of the show, the one that I like best is friend.
Yeah. No, thank you. You're a great friend. And I look forward to continuing to work with you and then spread the message, because this is powerful. You know, it's funny, you could probably learn more from your podcast than reading, you know, 2 or 5 books, right? Because as I was listening to some of the older podcasts again, I was going like, I read a lot. So yeah. I go, man, I'm connecting with these different theorists and these different authors about some of the things you're saying. I'm like, wow, if I just listened to Michelle's podcast, I could have, you know, not paid Amazon $200 in books and spent
well, you
that
could
much
pay
time
me.
Reading. Absolutely.
Have you checked out the Revenue Chasers? Yeah, YouTube.
I have not, but I need to, obviously. And I think everybody else should.
Yeah, not as much content on there, but it's good stuff.
It's important because, you know, the revenue matters. And if you want to up, you know, scale, and it's funny, somebody mentioned this a while ago, and it's a true statement. When you build a business, you should have an exit strategy in mind. And then I've said this to a matter of fact client today, is like, if we hit catastrophic success, can you scale in product and capability to deliver that to the customer? And they hadn't thought through that. I'm like, I said, we could potentially get, you know, a $20+ million contract, and they're going to expect you to field this stuff within a year or less. And you're kind of still classified as a small company. That's the thing. That's the strategy. Yeah. You got to think about that.
Got to prepare. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you again.
Yes, ma'am.
Join us for another episode of Go, Go, Grow.
Three verbs. Go, go, grow. Do something.
Like Chris said, check out previous episodes. Check out also the Revenue Chasers page on YouTube. And if you have feedback, if you would like to see a certain topic or guest, please let me know. I want to give you the information and resources that you desire. Go forward and go, go, grow.